Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it will go well with you and that you may enjoy life on the earth. But today is, we did Mother's Day, unfortunately, when it was during this quarantine time. We're blessed today to be able to get together as fathers. I think there's quite a few of us that are fathers in here. Some are grandpas. I'm not there yet. I hear it's a great thing that you can give them back at the end of the day or at the end of the weekend. I'm in no hurry. I say that, but then I watch some of you grandfathers enjoying the little ones. I'm like, maybe I am ready for it, but no rush on my sons and definitely no rush on my daughter. She's got a little bit. So I will tell a story about this family of five, mother and father. They go into a restaurant, and there's one of those claw machines there. So they're hounding them. Hey, Dad, Dad, just try it. So he puts his dollar in, goes down, and he grabs one of the a stuffed animal. So now he has a dilemma. Who do I give the stuffed animal? I have five kids. Some of you have more than that. Robert could probably, how many, what, six or seven, nine, how many kids you have, right? Yeah, along those lines. Can't imagine that, but, you know, pray for Robert. So he has five kids. He says, all right, well, I'm going to give this to the one person who deserves it, the one that's obedient to his mother, the one that listens to mom every time she asks her to do something. And they nod their heads. I also want to give it to the person that always does what mom asks them to do. And they nod their head. They're like, okay. And then the one person that will stop whatever they're doing and to make sure mom is happy. So all five kids chime in. They said, all right, Dad, you deserve it. So they end up giving the baby to or the doll and let Dad keep the doll. So see if I can get this. Everything works great. Bill's my witness. I was up here. I had everything working. All right. Let's try that. Okay. But you notice in the features, it didn't say honor the good mothers and fathers. It just says honor. And some have been, they've had fathers that aren't necessarily someone that you want to honor. We don't have choices with that. We're commanded as sons and daughters to honor our parents. And I was blessed to have my father in my life, and being a father is a pretty touchy subject for me, especially being in education and seeing in an urban environment, and it's not that it's not even here, because you'll see it here in Benton County and you see it in the rural areas, the enemy, the devil, has taken the father out of the home. He's turned the house upside down, and one way that he can do that, and he's accomplished that, is by removing the father and the accountability of the father. But there's a lot of kids, and I think if you see what's going on now, if you watch the news and you hear some of the interviews and you watch everything that's going on, I can only help but think, man, I wonder what these kids' parents are thinking. Are they doing? Are they sitting there going, yep, that's my son. You know, all this craziness that's going on and some of the ignorance that's coming out when they're interviewing them. I'm like, what's going on in our education system or raising these kids? But it's not an easy job. And some of you and some of us have raised other people's kids. Some of us have entered a marriage where there's multiple children, and now you're fathering a child that's not biologically yours. I have a friend of mine, Vance Johnson, who I've known Vance for years. It was like 7 years into my friendship with him, and we worked every day together, and he was sharing with me, like, hey, the kids' fathers are coming, and I don't know how to deal with that. I said, what do you mean the kids' fathers are coming? He says, yeah, my kids' fathers are coming. And I'm like, they're not your kids? He's like, no. His wife was Mexican. He goes, they're Mexican, and I'm Anglo. I'm white. I'm like, I doesn't matter anymore. But the way he loved his kids and the way he talked about his kids left no room for me to ever think they were not his. And now the father, who decided to come back in the picture, Vance didn't know how to handle that. And he handled it great. He just was the same man he was the day before, and he loved these children, and they're his kids. So, you know, some of us are in that position. Some of us are grandfathers raising our grandbabies. You know, there's a lot in there. Some of us are spiritual fathers, just friends. Just someone that, you know, you've got a young man or a young woman that's in your life that you're in that father role. A lot of times teachers pick up that role. police officers, people in people's position of authority, will pick up that role as a father figure. And we have good godly men in this room, and at the end here, I'm going to challenge each and every one of you. If you don't have your own children, reach out to a young man or a young woman that you can be that godly figure to and give godly advice to. I'm speaking directly to the dads today, but I don't want anybody else to tune out. And there's a lot of grandfathers, and some of you guys have been fathering longer than I have. I've had three children, 26. You can see how much I pay attention. 26, 20, 17, 16. Okay, so the one that lives at home, I don't even know how old she is, but she's 16. And I have no grandchildren. And I thought I had it all figured out, and my two moved out, and I remember talking to Bill a while back about it. Once I figure it out, you get a whole new different responsibilities when they're adults. And I've talked to Steve about it. It's a whole different dynamic of fathering an adult child. I'm still learning, so if anybody wants to give me some more wisdom as we deal with it, I'll go. Both of my boys are engaged to get married next year, which was weird. 2 months ago, they weren't. Now they're both engaged, so it's always changing. But the main thing I want to do, if you watch the news, and I told you last week to try and minimize the amount of news you watch, we're in a battle. And it's a battle not just in this nation or in Benton County. It's a battle in our homes. And the devil wants to destroy our homes. He doesn't care if you come to church. You know, I've heard it before from a preacher who said, the devil's in church with us. He doesn't care that you're sitting in here. He only starts caring when you go home and you start trying to change your life. When you start trying to change and becoming the man or woman that God has designed you to be. That's when he starts. So he starts by attacking a home and into that battle, especially as a parent. He's attacking our children. You can see it with what's going on. But it's nothing new. This battle's been going on for centuries. And there's a great description in it. And I've got some, we're going to read out of Deuteronomy, out of Judges. And Judges will give you a description of what was going on at the time. It's a Judges 6. And it's not, he's not attacking, he doesn't want our things. He doesn't want your car, your house, and all that. He wants your children. He wants to destroy your marriage. And if he can destroy the home and take the father out of home, or keep the father so busy and so focused on other things besides the Lord and his family, then he wins. And by destroying the family, we end up having a destroyed nation and a destroyed war. It is a war. It's an important war, and if you were to watch the news and see what's going on, I'd say we're losing the war. But the truth is, we win at the end. I know how it ends. You know, you would think that devil would realize, listen, I lose in the end, just give up. But no, he's stubborn, and he won't give up. He's going to try to take as many people as he can. But it's a problem all over this nation. And like I said, it's nothing new. It's been having over the course of time. If you want to, I'm going to tell you a biblical story. We're going to read out of Judges, and it's in the Old Testament. And for whatever reason, I can't get this to work today, so there we go. I'm going to give you a little background before we start reading. This is the nation of Israel had just marched into the Promised Land, and they were settling into this land. Now, it wasn't a complete victory because they went in and they settled instead of taking over. They didn't follow God's desires. They didn't conquer all of it. They just settled. Instead, they settled into some of it. And just before what we're going to look at, they were instructed. They did not do what God desired, so they repented. So Joshua repented. And it's with that mindset that we're going to go ahead and read Judges. So let me get my glasses on here, and I'll read with you guys. And we're going to start in Judges 6. So when Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord has done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in Timnath-Here in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gash. And all the generations were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation from them who did not know the Lord, or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. Sounds pretty familiar if you think about it. You know, we've taken God out of our schools, God the prayer out of our ball games. I don't know how. I haven't been to a ball game here. Are we still allowed to pray here at a ball game? Does anybody know? Okay. Because, you know, before a game, you'd get together and you'd pray. And they've taken it out. They've taken prayer out. They've taken the Lord out. I'm surprised that we're still swearing on a Bible in a court of law. I think that's, to me, that's my opinion. That's one of our last bastions that we're still holding on to. But it kind of describes the times that we're in now. This thing is intermittent. It wants to work when it wants to. There we go. So once Joshua and that generation passed away, once the fathers, the ones that were stable and into the Lord and into the Word and into God, they knew and they had the practices and they were wise and they spent time worshiping and teaching their family. Once that generation was gone, they didn't instill it into the next generation. And that next generation turned their back on God. So if you see what's going on now, like, oh, how can we do that? This has been going on for some time. You know, today in 2020, they don't even wait for us to die. They don't wait for mom and dad to die. They've got so much information available to them and so many other influence, so many small g gods, so many gods that they're just worshiping that they don't even wait for it. It's happening in our own homes while we're still here. They have the internet, they have their social media, they have the world pulling at them. And I'm 50 years old. I'm a little bit older than some of you. Not quite there. Some of you guys have a little years on me, a little more wisdom on me. And things have changed. Information, access to information has changed. So they have that. And I'm guilty of it. My 16-year-old daughter has a cell phone. And you know, it's probably safer to her to handle my pistols than have that phone at times. It's just so dangerous. It's so, you know, I'm preaching to myself, and as I was preparing this message, I was getting all kinds of conviction, and maybe this message was more for me than for anybody out there. But that world is tugging at them, just as it did in Judges. They forgot about, and they wanted to seek and do the pleasures of the world. What is the world? In 1 John 2:16, it tells us, "For the world offers only the lust of physical pleasure, the lust of everything we see, the pride of possessions. They are not from the Father. They are from the evil world." Again, Word of God, if you look at it and you apply it to the day, it describes what's going on today. Again, it's just not today. This has been going on for some time, and it's a cycle that each generation, and I'm here to encourage and warn. And to myself and all of us, be strong, dads. Be strong in the Lord. In Romans 1:28-32, we can also get a glance of what it's like. Let's go ahead and read that. Romans 1:28-32. "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God and God any longer, God gave them over to depraved mind, to do these things which are not proper, being filled with an unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossip and slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to their parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they are not. They not only do the same, but they all give hearty approval to those that practice it." So the Word of God tells us that this generation, these young people, it's not just this generation, but he's given them over. If that's what you want, go. You're choosing that. And it says in there that they know. So as a parent, we're doing our job. But I don't know if we're doing it 100%. You know, as I prepared this message, I said I got conviction that I do everything I needed to do. And, you know, hindsight, I can't take back what's already passed. I can only progress and do better and make the changes now. You know, both of my boys, and I'm probably sharing a little more, and I'm sure I'll get reprimand from my wife later on. You know, they've come to me, "Dad, I want to get married." And I'll sit down and I'll tell them the biblical description of what a husband is. And they're like, "Dad, why do you always got to go back to the Word of God? Why do you, you know, I saw how you did it and it worked out for you. Don't follow my path. My path didn't work. It worked for now, but it's not going to work for you. That's my path." But God has a path and God has a way. And they were raised, and both of my sons, and neither of them are in church. They're like, oh my God, you're a pastor. None of your boys go to church? No. They know the Word of God. They love God. They're saved. But they've seen what church has done. They have allowed what's happened to me to affect their decision on where they go. And I pray for that every day. I'm on my knees. If you can help me pray for my boys, I'm on my knees. They love the Lord. They know the Word of God better than I do. But yet, they haven't found a home. And that was my biggest wish as a father, to come here and be part of this family. And I still pray for that. You know, we live in a culture that approves turning our back on God. You know, from what we watch on TV and our movies, they make fun of religion. They make fun of Christianity. They make fun of the Lord. And it's nothing. And I'm not expect anybody here to get on their soapbox or to stand forth. There's a video of a protest, and there's two ladies out there, and there was a gentleman out there, several of them, and they're out there, and they're evangelizing. Well, I'm not sure I can do that. I can get up and share and teach for 45 minutes and encourage you and visit and direct you in the Lord. But to get out in the middle of a crowd of screaming people that want to throw rocks at me, I'm not sure I'm Paul. So those are those people out there that are defending it. But they were mocked. If you watch it, they're mocked. They're throwing water bottles. And these two ladies are just out there sharing the gospel. Jesus loves you. This one guy was in Seattle, and he was playing worship music and saying, Jesus loves you. And they were beating on him, and he wasn't bothering anybody. He wasn't going into a group of them. He was just there on his own, and they escorted him out, and they threw him out. They robbed him. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the truth. They're so wrapped up in themselves. And that is what we're battling. You can raise them. Some of us have some adult children. We've raised them the best we can. We put them in the Lord. The Word of God tells us, raise them up in the Lord, and they won't depart when they get older. I trust in that. I trust in the Word of God. We can just do the best we can. We have a lot of young fathers in here, a lot of young fathers with daughters. I'm learning. Daughters are a whole different ball game. That Steve, do you have any? You didn't have any daughters. You got granddaughters, though. You know, Bill, you have a daughter, and it's a whole different way of raising them. He's given me some advice in a short time we've known him. It's a whole different way. She doesn't get to date or get married till she's 25. So I've got some suggestions here this morning. They're just suggestions, and they're biblical. They're out of the Word of God, and I hope these are just suggestions that'll help you. The first is with our words. How do we battle this? How do we battle? How do we defend our home? How do we defend and help our children? It's with our words. Obey God and prosper. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. I'm going to spend some time in Deuteronomy. So I'm going to go ahead. It's my son calling me. I thought I had it on. That's all right. Sophie, can you take that down? Sorry about that. I thought I had the ringer turned off. So let's read Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6, and we're going to read all the way down to 9. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules, that the Lord your God command me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you're going to go over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by the keeping of all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life. And that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to them, to do them, and may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord and the God of your fathers has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord of God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. We are to teach them. We are to talk to them. When we walk, when we're sitting and we're talking, when we're sitting on the tailgate, when we're at the dining room table, when you're just got done balancing your bills and you're sitting there and your daughter or your son sits next to you. And what's going on, Dad? And you know what, son? I'm trying to make ends meet. And you know, I trust in the Lord He'll do it. You know, last week we talked about our story and how Paul shared his story. He was just got done getting beat, coming out of the temple, and he's sharing his story. How many of your children know your story? If we're not bold enough to tell our family, our child, our children, our story, how are we going to do that to the world? It starts at home. Now, some are young in the Lord, and you may be the only one in your house that's a believer, that has surrendered and is saved, and you're going home, and your wife or your husband's going, what is this Jesus stuff? And you're working at it. And your children are going to mock you. The Word of God tells it. And a lot of times they're waiting. And for years, it happened in my house. My kids were waiting for old Mike to come back. My oldest son knows Mike that did not surrender to the Lord. And I think at times he's waiting for old Mike to come back for a long time. This is just a season. Your friends will be that way as well as you start making the changes. Your own spouse might be this way. All right, I see some changes going on, but, you know, old Mike will come back. Stay consistent. You're going to fall. He'll have his hand for you. He'll pick you back up. And Deuteronomy 6-9 is a great description of how we raise our children. We are to bind it, write it above our door openings. Keep saying it's not going to work. There we go. Need to talk to children. You need to be involved in their lives. Tell them about God. Tell them your story. Tell them about the Bible. What you've shared today. If some of your children aren't here today, and I know most of you do this, hey, what did Mike teach on today? Well, we taught on being a father, and we read out of Deuteronomy. Have you ever read it? Share it. Share it. Share it with your grandchildren. There's an influence you have as a grandparent. One of the biggest, one of my heroes is my grandfather. Just from the little wisdom that he gave. And you know what he gave me? He gave me time. He gave me his time. Now, I didn't realize at that time he was retired, so he had all the time to give me. But I did notice there's a difference between the time that he gave me and the time my father gave me. And I love my father to death, and Lord willing, keep that in prayer. He'll be here next week, and I'm excited to have my father with him. He's my best friend, and I'm excited to have that. Wasn't always the case. I'll let him share that story with you. You get to know him. Share your stories with your children. Share it with your grandchildren. Now, obviously, you've got to be careful on the age and, you know, certain descriptions. I'm not going to tell. I think my daughter knows everything about me, and there's things that I've shared that she probably was a little too young to know about Dad. But it's my story. Share what he's done for you. Share what he's done in your marriage. How sweet your marriage is now because of God making a difference in your marriage. There was a study done recently to determine the amount of interaction between fathers and their small children. First, the fathers are asked to estimate the amount of time that they spent each day communicating with the child. This was done in 2016. The average answer was about 15 to 20 minutes. This was the father's answer. Next, they put microphones were attached to the father so that each interaction could be recorded. The results of the study were shocking. The average amount of time spent by these middle-class fathers with their small children was 37 seconds per day of one-on-one interaction. Their direct interaction was limited to 2.7 encounters daily, lasting 10 to 15 seconds each. So about two, maybe let's go three times a day, they would interact with their small child in a group setting or as a couple, and that would last about 10 to 15 minutes. But one-on-one time, just me and my son or my daughter, was about 3 seconds. Or 37 seconds, excuse me. It's about half a minute. So let's say a minute. If you look back at Deuteronomy 6, can you do all these things? Can you teach them diligently? Can you talk to them? Can you sit with them? Can you walk with them? And I'm learning that I've always known there's a lot of working in farming. There's a lot of work. And I've been told that there are certain seasons that the church may not have any of the men in it because they're working the field. And I understand there's a lot of work in it. And I have a lot of respect. I can't even comprehend the amount of work that needs to go into farming. And I'm learning that you guys are all risk takers, each and every one of you farmers. But find the time. Find the time. Proverbs 1 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, do not forsake your mother's teaching. The responsibility does go back onto the sons. Don't forsake them when they sit down and talk. Now, I know my kids, I'll sit and want to talk to them. When I'm in the mood to talk and I really have something to share, they roll their eyes. They're going to be here a while. They look at their watches and like, oh, here we go. Especially if the Word of God said something to me and I got this big epiphany. I'm all excited about it and I want to share it. And they're like, I don't get it, Dad. All right. But it says there, listen, my son, to your father's instructions, do not forsake your mother's teaching. It doesn't say let the schools do the teaching, the only teaching. It doesn't even say let the church. Now, we have a great teaching down below for our kids. But it is not our responsibility alone. We're here to teach the Word at all ages. But the responsibility falls on the parent, falls on the mother and the father. And we're blessed to have a church that has that ability, or some churches don't. We have a great team downstairs that does a great job. But it's not just our responsibility. It goes back to the mother and the father. You guys are raising the kid. We're raising the kids. We'll help you. But the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not return from it. That's not the church. That's to the parents. So how are we doing, Dad, with our words? Because words will kill. I think everybody in this room at one time has been hurt by some strong words. The other one is with our time. Robert Schuller, he was a pastor, once said he chose to fail so he could succeed. If you're a golf player, it's not for you. I'm not directed at you, but if you get conviction, that's on you. He said, I chose to fail at golf because I wanted to succeed as a father. Though he loved golf immensely, he knew they could never devote adequate time to his job, his hobby, and his family, so he gave up his hobby. And now I'm an advocate for men to have a hobby. You have to have time to get away and collect your thoughts. For some, it's golf. For some, it's hunting. For some, it's just crossword puzzles. But it's balancing and finding that time. How are you doing with your time? If we look at Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, press them on your children. Talk about them. You sit with them. You walk along the road with them. When you lie down, when you get up, tie these as symbols and hands behind. The Word of God is telling us how we share this. Are we allowing the time to make it happen? I'm a big advocate, and I try to encourage everybody. Get up every morning, alone time, spend time. Man or woman, young teenager, spend time with the Lord. Every morning, let Him speak to you. Turn your day over to Him. Start your day with the Lord. I try to start mine with coffee first, and then I sit with the Lord. And there's some days it doesn't happen. Things just get in the way. But spend it with the Lord. So it's about balancing your time. So you spend time with the Lord, you need to spend. It's a responsibility to be a father, to be a grandfather, to be a father figure in someone's life. You have to do it by spending time. Dads, do you want to know what's important in your life today? Look at your phone. Everyone's phone has, and I got some conviction when I did this, how much time you spend. At least my iPhone does, you spend on certain apps or certain how much time you spend on your phone. I spend way too much time on social media. I got some conviction. I was like, wow. And I pick it up and it speaks to me now and I put it down. I can't. Well, what's important with your time? Look at your daily planner. We all have to work. If you don't have to work, great, it's a blessing. Some of you have new businesses and it's being a business owner, just about everybody in here has a business that they're responsible on their own. I understand that there's times, some of us have careers where we work in a situation where it's you got to get in and get the job done. I'm one of those guys. I was guilty of it for years. Work, overtime, overtime, overtime when we work. And yeah, the money was great. But when did I have time to spend it? And when I did find time to spend it, I spent it all in one sitting because I wanted to enjoy it, and then I had to go work a bunch of overtime again. So I'm not saying don't work. I'm not saying that you can't devote yourself to your small business or your personal business because it takes a lot to be a business owner, to be a farmer. I understand that. It's those times that you're not working. What are you doing with them? Look at your schedule. Look at the time you're voted and what is important. Unfortunately, many dads say that their time, by if you show what you love by spending their time, you'll see it. Their jobs, their hobbies, their entertainment, their comfort. But if you ask every one of the fathers, they'll tell you, I love my kids. And it's a hard balance. I'm still figuring it out. For whatever reason, I get these times when I'm thinking about my message through the week and I'm planning, and I'm sure Matt's done this. They're right in the middle of something. You get an idea and you stop what you're doing and you want to go and you want to write it down and you want to spend time. And that just happens to be when Sophie wants to vegetate on the couch and just hang out with me. But hold on, Sophie. I'll be right back. There's a story of a father working and he's doing his job. He's trying to balance his numbers before he has to turn it in on Monday. His little daughter comes in. Says, Daddy, come look at a picture I drew for you. He's like, just give me a minute, sweetheart. Goes out for a few minutes. She gets bored. Comes back. Dad, come and look at this picture I drew for you. Come and look at it. She drew a nice chalk picture out in the driveway for him. Come on, Dad, come and look at it. He says, can't you see I'm busy? I'll come and look at it. I need to get this done. I'll come and spend time with you in a little bit. So an hour passed. He finishes up. He gets up. He sees his daughter sitting on the couch. He's like, well, where's this picture at? Well, come outside. I'll show it to you. He goes outside and takes up the whole driveway. It's a beautiful picture of the house and the grass and the trees. And there's the little girl, the puppy, the mom, big smiles on her face. And he's like, oh, that's beautiful, boy. Where's Dad? And she points at the picture of the house. He's inside in his office. He's finding that time, finding that balance. We have to work. We have bills to pay. We all do. Some of us have very demanding jobs. If you're in a police officer, I remember my dad would come home being a police officer and would take a couple hours for him to wind down. And what did I want to do? Jump on his lap and bug him. And I got old enough, I learned that he needed to decompress, so to speak. So just finding times. Time is a gift that you get. Time is a gift that you give, and you can never take it back. We've only got so many minutes on this earth, and so many minutes in a day. It is a gift for us. You can give money. You can always make more money. You can give gifts, because you can always replace things and get new things. But you're only given time once. What you give time to, what you give most time to, is what's most precious in your life. Time reveals your priorities in your life. If you want to win the war for your children, you've got to invest your time. And then with our lives, Genesis 18:18 through 19 is a revealing passage and reminds you of what it says. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him, for I have chosen him so that he would direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. The way you live your life is a direct reflection how your children will grow up. And I will want to give words of encouragement to everyone here, from Robert, who I just met. It's great to see how your children are. They are a great reflection. Bill, you did an awesome job. I've been blessed to meet your two young men, young boys, and they're awesome young men. Steve, you've done a great job. Well, mostly a great job. We're still working on Johnny. All right. It's not easy, guys. But our children now, I say that, they're still going to do their own thing. I was middle class. My dad was served in the military. I had everything I needed. I wore hand-me-downs. We weren't rich, but we weren't poor. It was in the military. We had a house. We never starved and everything. I chose to be rebellious. Now, I'm not saying I was the prodigal son, but I spent my time slumbering around a pig slough. They did a great job raising me. I knew right from wrong. I didn't know the Lord. My mom was very religious at the time. My dad didn't care for the Lord at all. He didn't get saved till a few years ago. I remember I was sitting down working on my computer, and I didn't hit save, and my screen went blank. And I'm sitting there, and I had Josh on my lap, And I was young. Josh was 4 years old. She's, my wife's looking away. He was 4 years old. He's sitting on my lap. Yvette's sitting across from me, and I brought up my hand. I was so angry because I just got done doing all this work, and it died out. And Josh looks at me, and he goes, F, Daddy, F. He didn't say the F. He said the word. And I looked at him, and I looked at my wife, and she says, I wonder where he learned that from. So they're watching you constantly. He was 4 years old. He knew when to say it, and he knew what to say. He knew what I was saying inside, but I didn't want to say it in front of my son because my wife's there and my son was there. Evidently, somewhere down the line, I said it. I know I'm going to share a story for Steve. He shared that Johnny's daughter was correcting him 2 weekends ago on his language. Kids will do that. They'll remind you, but in my case, my son picked up a habit years ago and he happened to say it in front of my wife, which did not help me at all. So, but our kids are an example of us. Sometimes, you know, just don't see it. You know, they have to live their lives and do their things and go through. Root them now in the Word. And if they're older and you didn't have that opportunity when they were younger to root them, use that opportunity now. Share it with them. Share the changes that are happening in your life that you've seen. Your words have impact. We're fighting this war, guys. This is a battle, and it starts at the home. He wants to destroy your marriage, and he wants to turn your house upside down. We can't worry about what's going on in Minneapolis, St. Louis. It starts at home. It starts at home. We need to pray for that. We need to pray for our law enforcement. This craziness of take away the police, that's madness. And one thing I will do, I'll use this opportunity, vote. Be educated, vote locally, vote in your local elections, be involved. Do your homework, do your due diligence, pray. So I want to read Deuteronomy again, just as a reminder. We'll start at 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. We've all read that. I've seen it quoted on social media 100 times. Are we ready to start applying it? And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your home, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. His commandments, His word, the word of God, the way, the righteous way to live. He makes us righteous. And it's by knowing it and allowing Him to work on our lives. So I'm going to wrap this up. Some of us have been, I've heard some horror stories. I have a friend of mine, Vincent, whose father, and if he's watching, forgive me, but his father was an evil man. Religious, fake, mean, drunk. But Vincent still loves his dad. He's a 30-something-year-old man that still wants his dad's approval. That's the cards that he was dealt. Now, God has put men in his life. If you meet Vincent and one day he'll come and visit, he calls me his brother, or there's no blood relation. He had no reason to succeed in his life. He has his master's degree, a few credits shy of his doctor's degree in international business. He's an independent business owner. He's a realtor. The guy's made a success out of his life. You know what motivated him? To prove his father wrong. So even when you have a bad one, still can work out for the good. And some of them blessed with great fathers, great role models. And the rest of us, I think we're still trying to figure it out. Those with young children, those that have grandbabies. But take those opportunities. If you're a grandfather and your children are raised or not necessarily home, find someone you can pour into. Find someone that you can be in this church or in your neighborhood or at your job that you can have a godly father influence on. There are young people hungry for the Lord that need direction. There are young people in the Lord that need a wiser man to come alongside of them and guide them. And if you're a young person that needs a godly father, walk up to one and say, hey, I need a godly father. Will you be my dad? Now, I'm not talking about moving in. Don't need to move in and all that, but just with wisdom, accountability. Teach them to the Word. It's what we're supposed to do as a church. We all need one. Some of us were born without. Some of us have great stepdads. Some of us, we all have our own stories. Those of you that have been blessed with a son or a daughter in the position of a father, whether you're in a broken home or not, or a divorced home or not, there's no excuse. Be a father. Do the best job that you can. You can't change what's happened. You can only change for what's going to happen. All right? Never forget the birthdays. Invest time. And when you're with them, make it quality time. Make it about them. I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of being on the phone or mind distracted when I'm spending time with my son or my daughter. A lot of conviction for me this week getting this together. So I'm going to tell one more quick story. A bunch of boys, young boys, and this happened evidently. This was written here in Benton County. A bunch of boys were together. This was, Steve, you're a little bit older than I, so evidently this was like early 70s. So a bunch of boys were debating whose father was the best. The discussion highlighted who their fathers knew. The first boy started out by debating, well, my father knows the mayor. He was soon topped by, well, my father knows the governor. The stakes were getting higher and higher. Well, my father knows the sheriff. There's this young boy who was eavesdropping. He came in, well, my father knows God. And he was mocked and walked away and sat there. And the one young man was left there crying out of these boys. He's just crying. I said, why are you crying? He said, well, I don't have a father. Well, my father knows God. And my father said that God is our father. So I think I'll share my father with you. And he took and he shared his father with this little boy. This was written at a restaurant. Guys all know the Mexican restaurant in Vinton. She has a little flyer that's written in there, and it's sitting in her restaurant. I'm not trying to convince you guys to go eat Mexican food today. It's not a plug for the restaurant. All right. Do you know God? And if you know God, why doesn't your family know Him? Everybody in this room knows God. I think we're doing a great job. Day on the back of the room to our young fathers in here, you're doing a great job. It's not easy. It's not easy. There's not a lot of thank yous. And we have today, the one day a year, to say thank you. And I want to personally thank each and every one of you for doing the best you can and raising your children in a godly home. And it starts just by coming on Sundays, showing them the importance of fellowship and the importance of the church. So we're going to do the offering. Bob, you want to help me with that? Give Bill a break? All right. I'm going to do the offering. Matt, can you pray for the offering for me? Thank you.